Okay, we're going to shift gears. Get ready. In the late 1970s, rumors went around that Bob Dylan had experienced a religious conversion. Okay? And part of that was evidenced by albums he was releasing and songs he had written. Slow Train Coming was an album that came out, I think, in 1979. In that, on that album, there was a song that really exemplifies and summarizes what Jesus was saying here when he said you can't serve two masters. The song is, you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be the ambassador to England or France. You might like to gamble, or you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world, or you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Now, he goes on and on and on, listing one after another profession and station in social life. And in each one, he reminds the listener, it really doesn't matter who you are or where you find yourself. You are going to wind up serving somebody. Who are you going to serve? You're going to serve the devil? You're going to serve the Lord? Or as Jesus puts it, you're going to serve God, or you're going to serve, I like the old word, mammon. That sounds like something that could devour you, doesn't it? Mammon. It sometimes gets translated money, but that's really not accurate. Wealth doesn't really even come close. It's more like stuff, if you consider stuff, not just all the things that we think we own, but all the opinions that help to shape us. Okay? And Jesus puts it very plainly. Nobody can serve two masters. You either hate the one and love the other. In that, he's not talking about feelings. You either choose to do what one leads you to do, or you choose to do what the other leads you to do. You cannot serve God and stuff. And so, as we look at this, one of the problems with serving stuff is that stuff is all about me. It makes it all about me. And in our culture, it's hard to imagine how we could be anybody without buying all the stuff we see advertised, right? Unless you have the right toothpaste and the right cologne, unless you use the right shampoo, unless you buy the right car, unless you live in the right neighborhood, unless you've gone to the right schools, all of that tells you who you are. All that stuff tells us who we are. Because it is all about me, isn't it? Or if I expand that a little bit to us, it's all about us, me and my family, or me and my friends, or me and my small group, or me and my race, or me and my denomination, or me and the people who share a social position with me. We're celebrating seniors today, and this is a good lesson for seniors who are graduating high school and going out to college and into the world to remember. Because believe me, when you move into that dorm room, you're going to have some stuff. But when you move out, you're going to have a whole lot more stuff. I'm speaking from personal experience here, okay? As a father of two daughters. And none of that stuff defines who you are. No matter how important you think it is, none of that stuff determines who you are. Because you see, to serve stuff focuses on the little us. To serve God focuses on the big us. Us with a capital U. Every single creature into whom God breathed the breath of life. Every single person upon whom God stamped the image of God. Every single person. So who are you going to serve? God or stuff? A second issue of serving stuff is, you know, you can never get enough stuff. Have you noticed that? If one car is good, two cars are better. We have four people in our family. We have four cars. This is confession, okay? Talk about stuff. I know something about stuff. If you got one house, two houses are better. Four houses are better. If you make $1 million, $10 million is better. $100 million is better. If you have a church with 10 members, a church with 100 members is better. A church with 1,000 members is better. If you serve stuff, you never have enough, right? On the other hand, if we choose to serve God, the question shifts. It's not how can I get more stuff. It is what am I going to do with the enough I already have. Everybody sitting here has enough. We do. So the question is not how do we get more stuff, when will we ever have enough? The question is what are we going to do with the enough we already have? Are we just going to keep it to ourselves? Or are we going to offer it in service to others? And that's not just money. That's time, which is often even more valuable than our money. We'll write a check, but spending time tutoring a child in Project Transformation, or spending time visiting someone in prison, or spending time simply sitting at the bedside of someone who's about to pass from this world to the next. What are we going to do with the enough we already have? That's the question, if we choose to serve God. A third thing that is an issue with serving stuff is that when you serve stuff, your stuff defines you. And also the opinions of other people about your stuff defines you. Okay? Do people admire the stuff that I have, or do I envy the stuff that they have? Do I wish I had their lawnmower, their boat, their car, their house, their life, their profession, or do they envy me? Do they want to be me? Do they wish they had this high and powerful position that I possess? When you serve stuff, we are defined by the opinions other people hold about our stuff, because our stuff defines who we are. When we serve God, there's a different question. When we serve God, the question is, are we becoming the person God dreamed that we would be? Are we doing the things God has put in front of us to do? And it doesn't matter what other people think about it. It doesn't matter if they admire it or look down on it. It doesn't matter if they envy it or despise it, because that's not the issue. We are not defined by our stuff or other people's opinion of us and our stuff. We are defined purely and simply by who God is calling us to be, what God is calling us to do. That's as individuals and as a congregation. We don't have to be any other congregation. We don't have to be like any other congregation. We simply have to live out God's dream for West End as best we can do that. That's our calling. That's serving God, not stuff. Now, I know you thought that Jack tale was just a silly story to get started with the children, didn't you? Because who in the world would give up a basket full of money thinking that that wasn't his fortune? Because we have been taught again and again and again that fortune equals money. Well, let me tell you, Jack knew a whole lot better than we. Fortune doesn't equal money. Mules don't equal money. Goats don't equal money. Even nail-straightening rocks, as amazing as those are, do not equal money. Could that ever happen? Sure. I know physicians who take time from lucrative practices to go on mission trips and serve people who can never do anything in return for them. I know physicians who have given up their practices altogether to serve in underserved areas in clinics. I know people who have taken the skills they have that are extremely valuable and would be worth lots of money and have given them away to those who need them, because that's who God has called them to be. I want to tell you one story about someone I know. Mr. King. I don't think I could ever call him anything other than Mr. King. His name was Kenneth King. He was a prominent attorney in town. He was very good at what he did. He was a mentor to other attorneys. He could probably have kept doing that, and that would have been fine. He was good at what he did, and he provided a service. But it wasn't his fortune. He discovered that his fortune, of all things, was teaching high school. So he stepped away from his law practice, went back to school, earned the credentials in order to be certified to teach, and wound up teaching at the high school, at Hume Fogg, the high school that both of my girls attended. They both had the good fortune of taking his World Studies course. Now, World Studies is a double course, a two-hour course that includes both history and literature. And I can remember at the beginning of the year when the school has open house, and you spend a few minutes in every classroom that your child is going to be involved in. And I can remember twice sitting in Mr. King's classroom listening to just a brief summary of what this was going to be about, thinking, I want to sign up. Please let me come. Please let me be a part of this. Both girls found his teaching to be transformative. Wasn't the only great teacher they had. But here is a man who left what we would consider for anyone his fortune when he was able to find his true fortune. And for years and years and years and years shaped the lives of young people by doing that. You see, Jack's not so foolish. Don't ever mistake money for your fortune. Don't ever mistake stuff for your fortune. Don't ever serve stuff, because it narrows your world way too much. High school graduates, it narrows your world way too much. Look for the big us. That's God's us. Look for the gifts you have and how those can be used to serve the big us. Take the enough that you have. Everyone in here is so incredibly gifted in so many ways. Take the enough you have and offer it to God in whatever way God will use it. Because you see, God doesn't force that. The choice is ours. But you're going to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord. It may be stuff, or it may be God. But the choice is ours. Let me urge you, serve God, the big us, and you will always, always find your fortune in that direction.